Okay, gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
The question we're going to deal with this morning is not earth-shattering, but it's a beautiful way for me to try and give some tribute to my own Rebbe and mentor, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. His yahrzeit was Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and since we're close to that date, I thought it would be appropriate to deal with this question the way I believe he would deal with it methodologically. It's not an earth-shattering question, but it's a real question. There's a certain community that right after Pesach felt that it's more important to come together in unity after Pesach than to bake a schlissel challah, a challah in the shape of a famous key, or whatever you do on the Shabbos after Pesach. You know, Pesach is a time when people have chumras, they don't exactly eat out at other people's homes in some communities. They felt right after Pesach this would be the most appropriate thing. Come together in unity. Mm-hmm. So they decided on Friday night they're going to have one service for the three shuls in town. A Sephardic shul, a Nusach Sephard shul, and a Nusach Ashkenaz shul. And they worked it all out. They had a little bit Kabbalat Shabbat like the Sephardim, a little bit Karblach, a little bit Ashkenazi. Myriv, they had a Chazan, I don't know if it was Ashkenazi or Sephardi. But at the end of the day, Myriv is at Kaddish Titkabel. Nusach Sephard, as well as the Sephardim, say Mizmor LeDavid, and the Ashkenazim say Aleinu. So the Ashkenazim knew already the protocol. The Sephardic man went up and he said Mizmor LeDavid, word for word out loud, like the Sephardim do. You know, by the Sephardim, the Chazan's the Chazan. He says as every word out loud. By us Ashkenazim, the Chazan's not a Chazan. By us the Ashkenazim, the Chazan, it's a traffic light. Stop and go. He tells you when to stop and when to go. He's not a real Chazan. By the Sephardim, that's a Sah. And they were all prepared for that. And then they said the Baruch Hu, like we usually do in Israel, after davening. And then all hell broke loose. Because the Sephardic Chazan said, Aleinu l'shabeach. And the Nusach Sephardim, Nusach Ashkenaz people said, Hello, Yashem Yichud, Hinei Nemuchad Umezuman. And they said, No, Aleinu. No, Hinei Nemuchad Umezuman. So what started out as unity didn't exactly work, but somehow, it didn't end on a nice note. Too bad it wasn't somewhere in the middle, and they would have been able to work it out. They forgot to work out that particular fact of coming together for that Friday night. So, it's a technical issue. It's not earth-shattering. Everyone went home, quite frankly. It's not an earth-shattering issue. But I think it's a very nice way for us to say which one is right. Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sephard, say Sfirat HaOmer before Aleinu. The Sephardim say Sfirat HaOmer after Aleinu. Davening's over, and then we do Sfirat HaOmer. Now, let's see what the Poskim say about this, and this will be a leeway into, as I said, thinking about this from not so much a Paskening Halacha point of view, because both Menhagim are very legitimate, but rather from a methodological point of view, what's the story? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tav Pei Tet, it's the only Siman in Shulchan Aruch about Sfirat HaOmer. Books and books have been written, but Shulchan Aruch gives it one chapter. B'lel Sheni Achar Tfilat Arvid Matchilim L'Sfar HaOmer. After Myriv on the second night of Pesach, you start counting the Omer. What do you mean by Achar Tfilat Arvit, after Myriv? We don't know, says the Mishnah Brura, right side of the page. Ve'kodem Aleinu. After Myriv here means what? After our Myriv means what? Let's define those words. After Kaddish Titkabel, Myriv is over. We did Kaddish Titkabel. Hopefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to our davening. Titkabel Tzolotonu V'Hoton D'Chol Beis Yisrael. And now we say Sfirat HaOmer. The Abu Draham, which is not an Ashkenazi like the Mishnah Brura, not the Chafetz Chaim, but a Sfaradi, says Achar HaTfila Omer Shas Kaddish Titkabel V'Achar Kach Matchilim L'Sfirat HaOmer. Abu Draham, Sfaradi, says the same thing. You say Kaddish Titkabel, and then Alain, then you go and you count the Omer. On the other hand, the Kaf HaChaim, one of the greatest poskim of the Sephardic world that came out of Iraq, the Kaf HaChaim said, the Nohagin Lispor Acharei Aleinu LeShabayach, that our custom is, no, we finished Aleinu, and then we count the Omer. So according to him, what does Achar Tfilat Arvit mean? After all Myriv is over. Lock, stock, and barrel. Not the important part of Myriv, but everything. Anything you usually say is Myriv is over, and now you do an additional mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer. If you want to make this tangible, is Sfirat HaOmer part of davening? Or a part from davening? Now, just to make it tangible, let's take another sugya, a very famous sugya. On this sugya, I can promise you, fights have been fought. You go on a plane. You davened with the minyan or without a minyan, coming from America to Israel. You land at the airport around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 9 people, 10 people, 11 people who did not hear that morning, if it was a Monday or a Thursday, Kriya Satora laning. What do you do? So I'll tell you what really happens. Everyone goes home and no one even thinks about it. But there was once a situation where 9 people came and said, you know, we didn't hear laning, let's go into the shul outside the departure area, there's a shul there too, right? We'll go through customs, take it all squared away, and we'll daven, we'll lane, we'll make up the laning. Now, Rav Soloveitchik used to come into New York from Boston on a Monday morning. He used to leave very early. He missed davening in a minyan. And he gave a shiur. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they davened mincha. And he asked the class, who didn't hear Kriyas HaTorah this morning? What do you think the class's answer was? How many hands went up? None. You're going to tell you didn't daven in a minyan. So then he said, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. 12 hands went up. And they davened mincha like they do on a fast day. Mincha, Kriyas HaTorah, and then they davened the regular Amida and Chazarat HaShatz, like they do on a fast day. And that was Rav Soloveitchik's opinion, and he even said that his grandfather felt that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovat HaYachid, meaning it's a personal obligation on each person. So if you missed it, it's your business, you have to make it up. And he said it's a tradition from his grandpa, Rav Chaim Brisker, and he said it was a Meshunadik Chumrah of his, because if you read the Ramban on Meseches Megillah and the Milchamot Hashem regarding things that need a minyan, he absolutely says, as well as most poskim, that it's a chovat tzibur. If you happen to be in a minyan, you go ahead and you lane. But, okay, he made up laning. Rabbi Nasha Klein, who wrote the famous responsum called Mishneh Halachot, he had a great shul in Borough Park, one in Ramot, was a very, very important posek. He was the one that machshered basically the Eruv in Brooklyn that some people don't hold from. Huge posek. He has a tshuva in Chelek Yod Aleph where he says, what I just defined to subscribe to you is 100% usser, because he felt that laning is not a part from davening, it's part of Shachris. So Shachris is over, you didn't lane. Tough! Move on! So we can say the same thing here. Is Sfirat HaOmer part of Ma'ariv, and thus it's before Aleinu, it's within the rubric of Ma'ariv, or is it a part from davening, namely, it's not part of Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is over, we do Sfirat HaOmer. However, I cannot say it's the same. Why can't I say it's the same? Because laning we do, everyone agrees, we lane in the middle of davening. Sfirat HaOmer, forget about Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. If you daven in an early minyan Friday night, and you go home, and you eat your meal, when do you count the Omer? Did you ever hear anyone say it's not right, you should not count it with a minyan? Anyone? No! You count it. You count alone. And therefore, you can't say it's the same. So we have to understand this machlokas. Why is it that, indeed, the Mishnah Berurah says, say it before Aleinu, and the Kaf HaChaim says, it's after Aleinu? Yes?
Does this remind me a little bit of Kiddush Levana? When we say Aleinu, go out to Kiddush Levana and say Aleinu again?
No, but that, it's definitely, everyone says it after davening, for a very technical reason, too. You have to go outside. Oh. But that everyone agrees. Here, not everyone agrees. We're in Shul, and it's before or after Aleinu. So let's see. In order to approach a question like this, you have to see if it's a local issue or a general issue. Namely, is it a local issue regarding Sfirat HaOmer, or is it a general issue regarding Aleinu? Now here's our question, before Aleinu or after Aleinu, so we can either tackle Sfirat HaOmer, or we can tackle Aleinu. So let's tackle Sfirat HaOmer first. Says the Tosfos on the right side of the page. Even when it's not yet dark, but it's what we call ben hashmashot, the time between sunset and dusk, you can make a bracha and say Sfirat HaOmer. And you don't have to wait till it's night, meaning dark. Why? Because today Sfirat HaOmer is derabanan according to Tosfos and the Rosh, unlike the Rambam, where it says reason number one, local. The old Omer, dafilu biyom samuch lachashecha adif mishum tmimot kedamrinan la'el ve'enira. And then Tosfa says, maybe according to my thinking, you can even count Sfira when it's still light out, right before Shkia, maybe at a plaga mincha minyan. But he says, I'm not going to go that far. Why? Because tmimot. We have a very important din with regard to Sfira to Omer, sheva shabbatot tmimot. What's tmimot? Pure. The Gemara says you have to count it at night, at the beginning of the night. And the Mishnah Berurah in D says, Vekodem Aleinu. Why does he say count it before Aleinu? The Choma de Efshar la Akedume Makdim Minon. Kendeshi Yitkayem Yoter Mashekatuv Tmimot Tihiyena. We should say Sfirat HaOmer as close as possible to the beginning of that day. So if last night was the 22nd day of the Omer, we want to count it as soon as the 22nd day comes in. But you have to daven Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv comes first because Tadir V'she'eino Tadir Tadir Kodem, it's more frequent. And you have a mitzvah Dol Raisa within Ma'ariv, and that's Kriyat Shema. So we'll do it, but as long once we finish that, Aleinu is not so important. We can push that off a little bit. We'll put in Sfirat HaOmer as soon as possible.
If there was a late Kibbutz Ma'ariv much later, could you do Sfirat earlier as soon as it's dark and not have to wait till daven 9 o'clock?
Say again?
Let's say there's a Kibbutz Ma'ariv, but it's quite late. You want to do Sfirat now. You're not sure you'll make it to that minute. So you plan on it, but you don't know. So you want to count now to count.
Okay,
count
so the Shulchan Aruch says that if you're in a minyan where they count Sfirah early, like the Tosfos has a Hava Minyan says Ve'enoni, right? Then you should count with them, and later on you should recount with a bracha.
No, I'm saying the Ma'ariv is later.
Or opposite, what?
Yeah,
I don't understand. The Ma'ariv is later, you want to count earlier?
Yeah,
I don't see any problem with that. I've never yet seen anyone saying that if you count Sfirah with a minyan, it's bigger, it's better. There's no such thing with regard to Sfirah. It doesn't make Sfirah a more amazing Sfirah if you count it with a minyan. So I see no problem with that. So says the Mishnah Berurah, why am I so adamant to count before Aleinu? I want to get as much of the day in. The 22nd day of the Omer began. Let's do it as soon as possible. The Biur Halacha says in the name of the Morik Tzia, Betam de Sofrim Lacher Tfila, Mishum de Berot Or Hashanim, Haya Minhag Lipalel Arvit Kodem Halayla, Uvisiyu Ma'am Ha'ariv Itchila Halayla, Velo Yusofrim Bedin Tchilat Halayla. He says the same thing, but from another vantage point. Ma'ariv didn't start at Seita Kochavim. Let's say Seita was 7:40. Ma'ariv started at 7:30 during Ben Hashmashot. Many shuls in Chutz La'aretz do this. Even shuls in Efrat do this. They wait till Shkia and they daven Ma'ariv right after Shkia. Yeah, there's two shuls I know of in Efrat that does it. One Sephardi, one Ashkenazi.
But they daven Ma'ariv 15 minutes after Shkia.
Where?
In the Petah Tikva.
Wow, 15 minutes. That's a little too much.
This is on Shabbos.
Okay, Motzei Shabbos we'll leave out. That's a whole question. When does Shabbos really end? But with regard to during the week, what happened was, said the Morik Tzio, where I lived, they used to daven Ma'ariv early. By the time they finished Ma'ariv, they got to Tzeit HaKochavim. So with the 22nd day of the Omer started, right there, they went ahead and they counted. So it was before Aleinu, but let's get in as much as Tmimos as possible. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and his Biur Halacha from another vantage point, but basically say the same thing. Why count before Aleinu? Because Sfirat HaOmer should be as close as possible to Nach, tonight. Correct. So what does the Kaf HaChaim say? He says to count after Aleinu. He says, with due respect to Tmimot, I have another consideration. What's my consideration? I'll tell you my consideration. I'll put it into tangible terms. There was a great woman, the mother of the Prisha and the Drisha, Bela. Zecher tzadeket levracha. She had a chiddush. She didn't understand why women, on a yontif, first they light the candle and then they make the bracha. Now on Shabbos, we've explained this before, there's a chumrah of the Bahag Paskin in the Ramah that says the minute you make the bracha, lahadlik near shel Shabbat, you're mekabel Shabbos. So now you're in a bind, you can't light the candle because you're just mekabel Shabbos. So it's a bracha levatala. So the women who are machmir for this in the Ashkenazic communities basically light the candles prior, and then they make the bracha. But she says, on Yantiv, you can mekabel Yantiv, and you're allowed to light a candle on Yantiv. So you should do it in the normal way, like we light Hanukkah candles. Make the bracha, and then do the mitzvah. Make the bracha, then shake the lulav. Make the bracha, then blow the shofar. She had this great chiddush. Came along the Magen Avraham and said, first of all, women know nothing. And he says that. And number two, he says, you're going to fall bluntion to everyone. What are you going to do? They're going to start making the... Don't mix up people if they don't need to be mixed up. Women light this way Friday night, let them light this way on Yontif night. Yes, it's two different nights, it's different, but you're going to mix everyone up. Comes the Kaf HaChaim and says the same thing here. No, hagin lispar achelin l'shabeach, why? Kedei lo lafsik b'seder atfila. What are you going to do? You're going to fall bluntion to everyone. Finish davening normal. like you do every single night of the year. And when you're finished, you'll say, now we're going to count Sfira. But if you start saying for 49 days, okay, for rest of the year, we do it one way. But now, for 49 days, we are now going to, before Aleinu, take a pause, and we're going to count Sfira. What I just described before is exactly the Kaf HaChaim's concern. They are about to say Aleinu, the Sfardim, and all the Ashkenazim said, hey, no, we're at that time of the year. And they said, we don't care we're at that time of the year. All year, we go to Aleinu. Now, if you have something extra to add, you have announcements, you have Mazel Tovs, do it after Aleinu, but don't mix up the davening. So we see the machloket could be local. Do we basically say Tmimot is more important to us than not mixing up people? Or do we say no? Davening in the normative way we daven all year is more important to us than the Tmimot. So as I said, here, is it better for davening or is it better for Sfira? You have to take a choice. Come to Kaf HaChaim and said, I don't want to mix up davening. Let davening be over with. Everyone knows how to daven Ma'ariv. There's this protocol. When it's finished, we'll add on the Sfira. Better for davening trumps the Tmimot. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says, due respect to Ma'ariv, mixing up the world. We can live with it for 49 days. First count Sfira because you should get it in as close as possible to the night. So it could be a very local machlokas regarding what is more important, leaving davening the way it is, or changing davening for the sake of tmimot.
That's 60 seconds, doesn't
seem. Again, you say it's 60 seconds, but many people who don't come to shul every night, or didn't come to shul their whole life, or are Baalei Tshuva, or are converts, this is going to mix them up.
No, I bet it's saying the reason is have it close to dark, at the beginning of dark. Not that other. He says, you know, let's have it as early as possible, close to when the sun sets. And that difference, it could be a minute or two.
Okay, but I'm saying even that minute or two is important for Tmimot. Let's count at the beginning of the night as much as possible. So we can't push Ma'ariv off, because Ma'ariv is more important, because it has Kriyat Shema D'Oraisa and it's a Tadir and all that. We'll push off Aleinu. What's so important? Okay, that could, what we call, is looking at this locally. That do they favor the normative davening over the Tmimot, or do they favor the Tmimot over the local over the davening? But we can look at it from a different vantage point. And Rav Lichtenstein always told us, you can't only look at a sugya based on that daf you're in. Look at it generally with regard to Judaism in general. So this is not an earth-shattering question. But instead of looking at Sfirat HaOmer, let's look at the other thing. We said, is Sfira before Aleinu and after Aleinu? So we've started out this year by saying, okay, let's look at Sfira and see why would it trump Aleinu? Why would we do it before Aleinu? Now let's do something else. What's Aleinu? What's Aleinu? Why is Aleinu in davening?
It's like the conclusion of all
matters. Why? So you look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says on the left side of the page, and as follows, Magen Avram Katav B'Shem Ha'ari, Sheyo'amruhu Achar Kol Hagimel Tfilot, V'chein No Hagim B'min Didinatenu. When should you say Aleinu? At the end of davening. It's what? It says it closes up davening.
So
in Nusach Ashkenaz, you say Hayom and Enke Lokeinu. When Nusach Sfard, you don't. It's really at the end. Oh. Truly at the end. That's what the Ari says. Arizal indeed. In his Nusach, he said it all the way at the end. But if you go to the Bach has a different understanding. It's not the conclusion of davening. It is the beginning of life. Or put it another way, is Havdalah the conclusion of Shabbos, or is Havdalah the beginning of the week? And there's nafkaminas to what I just said. Because if it's the conclusion of Shabbos, then you cannot make Havdalah till Tuesday. If it's the beginning of the week, then Efshar Zayin, you can make Havdalah at the beginning of the week. Once the beginning of the week is over, Havdalah is over. So is Aleinu the end of davening, or the beginning of life? We're leaving Shul into life. Says the Bach, I don't agree with this. Magen Avram, in the name of the Arizal, that it's the end of davening. I believe it's the beginning of life. And look at this beautiful Bach. Bach, Bayit Chadash, Rav Yo Sirkis, his son-in-law was the Taz. This is what he says. Hatamu litko bil vavenu kodem sheniftarim lebatehem yichud malchut shamayim v'sheyitchazek bil vavenu emunazo sheyahavir hagilulim min haaretz v'ha'alilim karot yikaretun. Anyone want to continue? Netakein olam. במלכות שקאי, כי אז גם, כי יש לכל אחד מישראל מסע ומתן עם הגויים, עובדי עבודה זרה וגידו להם ומצליחים, לא נפנה לאלילים ולא יעלה במחשבה חס ושלום, שום הרהור עבירה. What does the Bach say so beautifully? He says, why do we say עלינו? You know, Aleinu started in davening as part of Malchuyot in Rosh Hashanah. Then it somehow made its way to the Yom Kippur Machzer, and now it's made its way to the end of all our davening. Says the Bach, I'll tell you why. Because as soon as you finish davening, you're going out to the business world. You're going to deal with a lot of non-Jews. And some of them, you're going to look at them, they're very successful. I mean, let's be honest, if you're in America and you're looking at these non-Jews and they're making the same salary as you, they have a bigger home. You know why? They don't pay tuition. They don't pay tuition. You know, maybe I should change sides. Maybe I should change the tuition. We're talking about $40,000, $50,000 a year. That's a chunk. And it's not pre-tax, post-tax. Chunk over there. More than that, you see some guy, perhaps someone Jewish, no keep on, very successful, steals, dishonest, but look, he's successful. Maybe I should change sides. Comes along the Bach and says, therefore, when you leave shul, you say the words that one day, there'll be a day that we will lahavir gilulim mina aretz v'aladim karoti karetu. And it doesn't just mean idol worship, it means people that do things that are part of idolatry, which means to steal and things of the like. And therefore he says, there'll be a day yet. So when you leave shul, what are you basically saying? You basically are leaving shul with the feeling, I am proud to be a Jew working under God. And even if I see people that live in bigger homes than me because they don't pay tuition, and even if I see people that steal and lie and they're much more successful than me, I will have in my heart, what does he say? Litkoa bilvaveinu. What's litkoa? True. In this case, it doesn't mean blow. Litkoa. When you say litkoa, it can mean blow or it can mean to hammer in. To push in. It's like take a knife, put it into you, and the knife says, I am a Jew under God. That's what Aleinu Lashabeach is. It's not the conclusion of davening, it is the beginning of life. So we can make a nafkamina right here between them. And here are the nafkaminas. Number one, let's say you daven mincha, and right away you daven ma'ariv. Have you been to such shuls? Mincha then ma'ariv. You can do it. After all, you could daven mincha, let's say, right before plug. Right? So you get to, I don't know when plug is today, let's assume 6:15. So you daven mincha 6 o'clock. By 6:14, you finished mincha. Kaddish titkabel's in the air. Do you say Aleinu? Or not? No one's leaving shul. Everyone's staying there. According. He didn't say Aleinu on Erev Shabbos. Oh, mincha, very good. I didn't know that Chatam Sofer. So why didn't the Chatam Sofer say Aleinu? Because you're not leaving shul. So the Bach would say, if you're not leaving shul yet, there's no reason for Aleinu. Aleinu is only when you leave the bubble of the shul to go out to the real world. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, who quotes the Magen Avraham, Aleinu is not the beginning of life, it's the conclusion of davening. So when you conclude mincha, how do you tell people we have concluded? You say Aleinu. And you can say the Shir Shal Yom Ke Elokeinu afterwards. But basically, you're indicating to people, this is the end of davening. The climax of davening. We're going to sum up what we've done today, ladies and gentlemen. Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol. This is our conclusion.
Why don't you say Aleinu the end of Musaf?
Oh, very good. Look at the next nafkamina. Yom Kippur. What do you say? Why don't you say on Yom Kippur? Because on Yom Kippur, probably, this used to be the case, you didn't leave shul. So according to the Bach, you don't need Aleinu. But according to the Magen Avraham, you probably would. You would probably need an Aleinu after Musaf. You'd probably need an Aleinu when you leave shul. So at night we do leave shul, so we say Aleinu. During the day, the assumption is you're not going to leave shul. So therefore, the minhag is that we don't say Aleinu because it's one long day of davening. But quite frankly, according to the Magen Avraham, you would have to say Aleinu. Why? How do we conclude davening? We don't say, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. We say, ladies and gentlemen, the climax of what we've done here today is Aleinu l'shabeach la'adon hakol. Let us give praise to the master of the universe. Latet kedula liyotzer bereshit, etc. Nafkamina number three. Shachris and Musaf. You go to shul Friday, Shabbos morning, you daven Shachris. Why don't you say Aleinu after Shachris? So according to the Bach, very simply, because you're not leaving shul. Aleinu is only important when you leave. When you leave shul, you need that Aleinu ringing in your ears. But according to the Magen Avraham, you have to end every part of davening with an Aleinu. So you could say, okay, Shachris Musaf is like one, but I'm saying maybe not. Maybe it's not one.
Yeah, but the reason why you say Aleinu is because you're going out into the business world, mm-hmm. right? Shabbos
Oh, you say later on Shabbos also.
Again, you're going out to the business world, or you're going out to the world. It doesn't have to be the business world per se. On Yom Kippur, you're walking out of shul and you see people that are not fasting. Maybe you'd be jealous of them. It doesn't have to be necessarily the business world. So anyway, if we want to plug this in, is Aleinu the end of davening or the beginning of life after davening? Now we can explain the two minhagim. If it's the end of davening, then quite frankly, we're still davening Sfirah to Omer. We didn't finish davening yet. Now, it's true, Sfirah is its own mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah that we use our words for. We use our mouth. We count with our mouth, just like we daven with our mouth. And when we finish that, we'll say Aleinu. Correct? Not correct at all. If Aleinu is the end of davening, you should say Aleinu. Davening's over, ladies and gentlemen, and now we were going on to our second mitzvah of the evening, Sfirah to Omer. But if Aleinu is the last thing you want a Jew to have ringing in his ears when he leaves shul, then when should you say Aleinu? After Sfirah, after you finished all your Jewish acts of shul, could be Ma'ariv oriented, it could be Sfirah oriented, it could be learning, whatever it is, then you get up and you say Aleinu. It should be the concluding passage, because it doesn't end davening, it begins life. So right before you enter life from shul, that's when you should say Aleinu. So now we can explain the two customs. Maybe it's generally, how do they look at Aleinu? If Aleinu is the end of davening, so first finish davening and then say Sfirah. But if Aleinu is not the end of davening, if Aleinu is the beginning of our life outside of davening, you should push it off as much as possible. Then so that it's the last possible things people hear.
Perhaps you should say Aleinu then after a night of learning. Maybe you should be saying Aleinu after you do a night of learning.
Could be.
Or something.
Could be.
Like that, because of the beginning.
But maybe Aleinu was more a summary of davening, which includes praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, request, and of course thanksgiving, as opposed to learning, where it doesn't include those things. You're basically learning the Word of God. So there could be a better conclusion. We can think of something else. But here, according to the Magen Avraham, in the name of the Arizal, Aleinu is the concluding way of saying, this is the summary of davening. Aleinu l'shabeach la'adon ha'kol, atakenu olam b'malchut shakai. This is what the summary of everything we've davened for today. According to the Bach, it's no summary of davening. Davening finished. It's the beginning of life outside of shul. We want this to ring in a Jew's ear when they leave shul. So therefore, this would have a nafkamina to our sfira. Do we do it before or after Aleinu? So, as you saw today, there's two ways of looking at this beautiful question, which is not earth-shattering, but as you could see, there was a big fight. Either it's a local din with regard to Sfirah to Omer. Do we want to count it at the first possible moment? Or do we say, listen, with due respect to Sfirah, it's 1 minute later, as Bruce said. Don't mess around with davening. People start getting mixed up. They have to look in their siddur and see, on Chanukah, on Purim, on Chanukah they light the menorah here. On Purim, they're going to read the Megillah here. On Tisha B'Av, they're going to say Kinos. You're going to make everyone nuts. First finish davening, and then do the extra stuff. Or we could say, no, it's a machloket. How do they understand what Aleinu's there for? Is Aleinu the end of davening, which would mean when davening's over, say Aleinu and then Sfirah? Or is Aleinu the beginning of life after davening, where you leave the bubble of shul, enter the reality of life, and then the last thing you want a Jew to have in his ears is Aleinu? I'll give you one more nafkamina. It's interesting to me. But it's, you know, Jews, when they do certain things, you have to say there's something behind it. So, I've heard songs composed for Aleinu. I have never heard songs composed for Shir Shel Yom. Why is that? Answer. You can give two answers. The first answer is very simple. Shir Shel Yom, according to Nusach Sfarad, and the Sfaradim, they say it in the middle of davening, when it's a Shachris Musaf day, right? So, there was no song, because by that time people said, oh, another song. No good. Aleinu is said at the end of davening. That's a different story. Or you could say, Aleinu is so important, we wanted people to sing it. We wanted people to have it on their lips, because it's so important when they leave shul. It's not a shul-oriented issue, it's the leaving shul. So we know Aleinu is one of the first songs we were taught as kids, because it's so important when you leave shul. Questions? Yes. You had a question.
I'm just saying, if the chalkelek from shul on Motzei Shabbat is done, also the same sort of argument is done before.
What?
Before
Havdalah. Yeah. Yeah, in certain communities, it's the same argument. Some do it after Aleinu, actually, and people just go home, and some do it before Aleinu. Absolutely. Absolutely, you could say it's the same argument. Is Aleinu the end of davening, or is Aleinu the beginning of life after shul? If it was the beginning of life after shul, you'd say it after Avdolah. If it's not the beginning of life after shul, it's the end of davening, finish davening, and then say Avdolah. Absolutely. Very good, Nafkamina. Thank you.
A lot of shuls, they don't do Adam Zemiris, but the ones who do, do they conclude with Adam Zemiris?
Correct. So now, I wanted to say that this is a wonderful thing I just came up with. I should get a yesher kach. There's only one problem with everything I just said.
You'll do it.
Adam Zemiris. Yeah. If it's the last thing, Adam Zemiris ruins it. So I have three answers for you.
Well, number one. Some people might do Adam Zemiris.
Number one, some people do Anim Zmiros right after Shir Shayom in the middle of davening, before they take out the Torah. So the last thing they do here is Aleinu. Number one. Number two, Anim Zmirot is a minhag that many don't say. The Gra said it's such an important, sanctified prayer that you can only say it on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur night, if you look in your machzor, it's written in there, that's it. It's so holy, you can't say it on a regular Shabbos and a regular Yom Tov, and for sure not by a kid.
The kid says it with the eyes right. Open, it's everyone talking.
Right.
Three unusual things. The kid, it's open, everyone's talking.
Right. Very good. But, quite frankly, those are my two answers to the Anim Zmiros problem. But, if you didn't say Anim Zmiros, like the Gra, or you said it earlier, then indeed Aleinu would be the last thing. You can sing Adon Olam afterwards, whatever, but let's put it this way. My opinion, davening ends when there's a Kaddish afterwards. And there is a Kaddish after Aleinu. Right. There's no Kaddish after Adon Olam. So that is the last thing you say on a Shabbos morning. After Adon Olam?
No, after Aleinu.
After Aleinu, they don't have Kaddish. Ah, now let's talk about that. Atzvardim don't say Aleinu. They say Aleinu. They don't say a Kaddish after Aleinu. They say Shir HaMalos before. At night, we're talking about, just for everyone to understand. They say Shir HaMalos Sinai Le'arim for most nights of the year. And then they say Kaddish. And then they say Aleinu. And they don't say a Kaddish again. Right? So it's ultra, ultra ringing in your ears, according to the Svardim. Right? It's the last thing. And then they count Svirata Omer. So it doesn't go with our whole logic. Right? Because our logic was, it should be ringing in your ears. Well, by the Sfardim, it doesn't ring in years because they say Sfirat HaOmer afterwards. Now, why don't they say after Aleinu Kaddish? I don't know. I think the reason is because the Sfardim are much more halachically based, and they understand that Ribui Kaddishim, having many Kaddishes, is not a good idea. The Gemara says that in many different places. Though the Sfardim do say Kaddish in everything that moves, but in general, in the normative davening, they minimize it. The Ashkenazim, I hate to say this, many Ashkenazim throughout the generations have come to shul just to say Kaddish. So maybe we wanted to put in as many as possible, they should stay until the end. But suffice it to say that if you say Aleinu at the end, tip end of davening, you're basically saying it's my last thing I want ringing in my ears. It's a hachana, it's a preparation to leave shul. If you say Aleinu earlier, then you're saying, no, it's a conclusion of davening. Davening's over. We have just made the announcement, the declaration of what we did here today. Let's summarize. It's the Aleinu. And then you put in anything else you want. You could put in an Anam Zmirot. You could put in an Adon Olam. Davening is over. What's another way of saying davening is over? Aleinu. Aleinu is a way of saying davening is over.
But having it in mind before people in shul, so really the rabbi or the gabbayim shouldn't make final announcements that cause divisiveness, for sure.
There are. You can look around. You can look around Am Yisrael, and you can see that around shuls around the world, many of them make announcements right after Mosef, before Aleinu. They don't necessarily make it then. And they basically want this to be the last thing, Aleinu. And then that's it. Absolutely.
I know
absolutely.
In the shul had certain questions about who should give a drasha. Rav Ruskin said, you know what, do it after davening. So people who can leave want to leave. People stay, it's their option. And that way, whoever wants to speak can speak, whichever gender, whichever topic, leave it open. It's not part of the davening. And therefore,
I would just answer that it's a wonderful idea for the congregants. For the rabbi, it's a terrible idea because the rabbi will go home offended every week. Do you know why? Because as people walk out, he doesn't want to hear me, he doesn't want to hear me, he doesn't. He also doesn't want to hear me. So hopefully he'll just be offended. If not, he'll get upset. And when this person calls him up, Rabbi Avashaila, you who walked out of my drasha, Avashaila, boom, he bangs down the door, bangs down the phone. So I don't know if it's a good idea for the rabbi. It's definitely a good idea for the congregants. Now, I have to tell you, when I go around the world and lecture and they ask me, where do you want to speak? I say, wherever you would like. I'm a guest. They say, yeah, but if you have a choice. If I have a choice, I do say, after davening. And I have no problem with people walking out. I don't know who they are. So they don't know who I am, and I don't get offended. But if you're the rabbi of the shul, this might be a bad idea.
No, this is never the rabbi.
Number two, it might be a bad idea for another reason, and that is that the people walk out every week. Maybe they don't learn all week. Maybe they've never learned in their life, and their only words of Torah will be this speech. And you're depriving them from it. Not true, you're forcing them to stay, because, you know, they didn't daven Musaf yet, whatever it is, but you're depriving them. So you have to be smart and give a good speech, an interesting one. It should be short enough. I would say short enough to cover the topic, and not too long to make people lose interest. But yes, maybe we're forcing them a bit, but it's important because people don't learn all week.
Well, this is